I came in the sanctuary yesterday morning, and if you saw my little thing on Facebook, my little post, as I was sitting here in chair number two, that's my secret place, hiding place, the Holy Spirit just began to download. What a precious relationship we have with God. You know, people there say, well, I'm just going to accept Jesus so I can go to heaven. Well, that heaven's a lot better than hell. I'm not going to argue that. But people who say, well, I just go to church, that's all I need, they're missing so much. Missing so much. I went into the fellowship hall yesterday and just began to write down, and I don't even know if I'll get beyond this, because it fills my heart with joy and peace. And we have the most amazing, beautiful, magnificent, marvelous, precious relationship with God. That is, it is almost unbelievable and mind-boggling. You try to comprehend what we have with God and how God has blessed us. In the natural mind, it doesn't add up. It just can't. It seems so unreal. It is a relationship where God takes us, adopts us, cleanses us, gives us everything He has, forgives, and demonstrates to us and through us what real love and unconditional love is all about. And then He spoke something into my heart that we've heard, and maybe not in this way. I can't earn anything from God because all He has, He's given me. I want you to think about that. I can't earn unforgiveness. I can't earn acceptance. I can't earn cleansing. I can't earn the Holy Spirit. I can't earn salvation. I can't earn it, because how can you earn something that He totally gives you? And so the life in Christ becomes a life of receiving. I begin to look again then at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. If you want to go there with me. And it says this, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What same image? The word transform is the Greek metamorpho. It means transfigured. It's like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. What happened? He glistened. The brightness and the glory was manifested through Him. That is what God is doing inside of us. He's transforming us into the image of Christ. And one day, I believe with all my heart, one day there's going to be so much glory in God's people, it's going to break out.
That's right, amen.
It's going to leak out.
Amen.
There'll be a trickle here and a trickle there, and all of a sudden, boom. People will see Jesus Christ as He is in His glory in you and me. We say, oh man. Wow. You know, I know the Bible says this. If the righteous are scarcely saved, where would the ungodly be? Now, scarcely saved is an interesting term, because there's nobody who's serving Christ who's hanging on the edge. We okay? You're in Christ or you're not, really. But with great difficulty, it took Jesus great difficulty to do what he did.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
The cross was no easy beans. And we look at the magnificent salvation that he gave to us. And the magnificent forgiveness and cleansing and all the things he's done. Hey, by the way, you're a new creation. Look at me. In the eyes of God, you have no past. We don't get a hold of that. Why? Because he's not taking us from mess to mess. He's taking us from glory to glory. He's not taking us back. He's taking us ahead. God has no intention of condemning you. We do that to ourselves pretty good. And so God is bringing us to a place, and I just sat down with all this teaching, and maybe I'll get through it in 20 minutes. I heard that. But when we stop and think about salvation and Christ living in us. So I went to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We have a treasure. How about Colossians chapter 1, verse 27? To them God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. What are the riches and what are the treasures that God's pouring out on us? Yes, I believe in prosperity. I believe God helps us meet our bills. I believe God wants to bless us that way too. But the riches of his glory and the hope of his glory is Christ in us.
Amen.
You have a treasure in earthen vessel. You are the treasure and the treasure lives in you. I want you to think about that. The Bible says we're the apple of God's eye. He never said you were the prune. He says we're the apple of God's eye. The Bible says every tear that you'd cry, he puts in a bottle. How many of you drowned if you went to heaven right now? Every tear. And the Bible says, for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. What's that all about? He knew there'd be a day like this when we washed his feet, when we'd glorify him, when we'd praise him, when we stop and think, what a masterpiece he's made. It's amazing. I have to be, I'm not talking about you now, I have to be spiritually retarded not to understand what Jesus did for me. I know that might not be a term you heard in church before, but it works. You clarify my point? When I sit and I sit in my chair and I start moaning over this and complaining about that and moaning over that, there's something wrong with me. Because God lives within me. And the God that lives within me has given me everything I need for life and godliness.
Right.
He's made me partaker of his divine nature. He's poured his blessings out upon me. He's given me nothing to complain about with him.
Right.
It's magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. And you know, in our day-to-day walk, we don't, at least at times, I don't get it. Thank God for you people that you do. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes the veil covers. Remember Moses? They put a veil over him in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Because the glory of God was expanding and people couldn't stand to look at him. So they covered him. And sometimes the enemy covers our minds with veils that we don't see. But the Bible says because of the Spirit, the veil has been removed. You know, I was sitting here yesterday, all of a sudden, it's clear. You know, I knew all this stuff. How many read the Bible? Read the Bible. How many gave up reading the Bible? Kirk sent me something. Maybe you get a new Bible, get a new translation, get something that excites you. I read that yesterday. Hello? Come on.
That's right.
If the old one isn't working, get a new one.
That's right.
I'm serious. We go through stages where we read the King James or we read the New King James or we read the NIV, and some people are just going this way, and God opened my mind to a lot of stuff when I sat with a man who said, you're not going to heaven basically if you don't read the King James. Paul didn't read the King James. Hello? Do you know that? Paul read the original. And if you want to read the original, get in the Aramaic. Otherwise, it's not original. So sometimes we get bogged down in translations, and maybe sometimes we just need to switch. Is that okay? And don't sit down and try to read the Bible like a storybook. Read it as a love letter. Anyway, he treasures us to the place that we are his treasure, and he puts his treasure in us. I want you to see something. How many know what you got when you got saved? How many realize you didn't get shortchanged? You know, we look at things and we start making determinations and we start thinking. And I've talked to people who walked away from God because, well, God failed me. God didn't do what I expected. Really? What did you expect? Savior or salvation means this. Are you ready? You just holding your breath waiting?
Ready.
It means deliverer from present danger and trouble. It means preserver. It means one who saved from destruction, bringing a state of prosperity. We have wellness and happiness, saved from the power of sin and from eternal death, punishment, and damnation. Gives us eternal life, delivers us from the pollution of sin, brings freedom and brings redemption, brings deliverance. Let me ask you a question. I took that from the Greek. But what was left out that you're looking for? You ever think about it? What's missing? I looked at it and then added, after salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit, we get this, we get that, we get other things. How wonderful. It's glorious. Every morning we wake up, we should be praising God. Every night we go to sleep, we should be praising God.
Amen.
But there are times we just allow the things of the world to start affecting us or infecting us. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, the Bible says. God doesn't change his mind. He's a giver. And he gives and he gives and he gives and he gives throughout our lives. And what does he ask in return? that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. That we follow His Word. That we offer Him the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. That we're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. That we do good, because with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. What would it cost you to buy joy and peace? How much are you willing to pay for it when it's freely given to us? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's glorious. What a great God. How can you sit still? You should be shouting. Come on. We kind of casually take this. We casually look at it. It kind of goes over our head, and then tomorrow we'll kind of forget about it. I wonder what pastor preached. Maybe I'll get on the podcast, or maybe I'll listen to him on the radio. At least there, when I get nervous, I can turn him off. It's unbelievable what God has done for us. Have you ever seen something that's too good, or ever had something happen to you that's too good to believe? And usually when that happens, it is. But with God, we only got a portion of it. We only got a little bit of it. He absolutely transforms us, changes us into the image of Christ. I want to tell you something else. Along with everything I told you, He gives us power and authority. We're not here battling for victory. I want you to think about this, because I've said it before, and people say, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not fighting the devil for victory. You're fighting the devil from a place of victory.
That's right, amen.
Amen.
We have to quit to lose.
That's right. Yeah.
Jesus defeated Satan and the power of hell and all the demons and all the things going on when He rose from the dead. So we're fighting from a place of victory to victory.
Yes.
Actually, as Jesus just left us here to mop up the spoils, clean it up. The Holy Spirit told Paul, I've called you to turn to the Gentiles, to turn their from darkness to light, from unforgiveness to forgiveness, to cleansing. I've given you that authority. The greatness about the kingdom of God is God trusts us to fulfill the time that we're in for His plan and purpose. We are ambassadors for God.
Yes.
It's like God sent us to planet Earth from heaven to reign like an ambassador from the U.S. to Great Britain or Russia or somewhere. We're ambassadors. Not only that, but in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9, he says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, His own special people who've been called out to praise Him from darkness into this light. I want you to see this, and I'm done. Wave at me when my 6 minutes is up. I got four? Okay. People on the radio are going to say, what in the world did he do now? That we're a chosen generation. He chose us to believe in Him and to be His family. You've been chosen. Say it. I am chosen. Say it. Yeah, thank you, honey. We are a royal priesthood. And I'll just step on my glasses. We're a royal priesthood. That means we belong to the King. We have royal dominion and royal dignity that we offer up sacrifices to the Lord ourselves. We're His own special people. What does that mean? What does it mean to be special? That means that He's chosen you, that He purchased you, and that He possessed you. You are purchased and you are possessed by the God of heaven.
Amen.
Yeah. Really. We are purchased and possessed people by God. He's made all that possible for us. And so I ask you again, what's lacking? The only thing lacking in my life or your life is what we haven't allowed God to do in us.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
So, if we're going to wash the feet of God, if we're going to declare He's worthy, if we're going to come in here every Sunday and worship Him, if we're going to honor Him, if we're going to praise Him, then let's live for Him. Don't allow the things of the world to torment you. Don't allow things people do or say to bother you. Oh, sure, we are all touchy-feely in some place, some purpose, somehow. But the thing of it is, value what God says about you. Value your relationship with Him. Because He values you more than you can imagine.
Right.
You have purpose and value in the eyes of God. And we have to come to a place where we realize that when things negative happen and try to tear us down and try to ruin our lives, you have value. And in this body, as God honors us, we need to honor one another.
Yes.
We need to honor. We need to demonstrate everybody in this body has value and purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, I bless them. They're Your people. We love them because You love us. And Lord, You love this group. And Lord, let the reality of the relationship burn in our minds. That You not only made us masterpieces according to Ephesians 2:10, but this is a magnificent, wonderful, blessed, marvelous relationship that You brought us into. You didn't bring us this far to let us fall back now. You brought us this far to finish the course. In Jesus' name, amen.